12-Sided Stories is for mature audiences and often deals with topics that may be difficult for some listeners. Discretion is advised. Stories welcomes you to Otherworld Seattle, a story-heavy, rules-light Call of Cthulhu actual play. And now, our keeper, Wes Otis.
Welcome to Otherworld Seattle, episode number 24. My name is Wes, and we have some wonderful players here. Let's start with Pooja.
Hello, I am Pooja, and I'm playing Mira Rao, who is apparently not afraid to browbeat her friends into not opening portals to other worldly creatures to come and destroy our dimension.
Hello. Yes, I'm playing Bailey, and gosh, she just went through some business, is what my grandmama would say.
Hey, y'all, I'm Mac. I'm playing Cecil Mulgrove, and I am just going down the damn rabbit hole.
Hey, I'm Michelle. I'm playing Maribel. And yeah, Maribel is just trying to keep her friends together and not end the universe, you know, like you do.
Before we start, please consider supporting the show through Patreon or on ko-fi.com, spelled K-O-F-I. Now, on with the show.
Okay, so let's jump into a recap. Last time we were together, Cecil decided to stack a bunch of sigils together in Photoshop and print them out. And it had a disastrous effect on her computer and also created this weird three-dimensional printout on her paper. It looked like the sigils were actually trying to keep away from each other. And you found that out because Bailey took a picture of it, kind of messed with her camera a little bit, and was able to tell the difference between the sigils and how far apart they were. And it also allowed Mira and Bailey to kind of get a brief glimpse into the universe as a whole and the fact that it's much bigger and much more horrible than they had thought it was, and they thought it was pretty horrible in the first place. There was an argument about the piece of paper that was printed out. Cecil left to go to an internet cafe and get some information that she had asked the Seattle Strange about. And basically, Mira was able to get the piece of paper back. She burned it. And when the flames got to the actual sigil, there was a reaction and the sigil turned into a circular piece of metal, 4 inches by 4 inches, with no symbols on it. Bailey had a panic attack, but is doing better. And you all don't know where Cecil has gone, but you are in possession of the paper. At the internet cafe where Cecil did go to, her mother appeared dressed in 1984 clothes with 1950s makeup on, which is actually not very far apart because the 80s were definitely a nostalgia era for the 50s in a lot of ways. And so she seemed earnest about wanting to try to patch things up with Cecil, or at least arm her with information that maybe she needed to know for some reason. And Cecil refused to leave with her, but said she would hear her out. And that is where we're starting this episode. I am going to start with Cecil. So your mom sits down next to you and she says, "We've been here for a long time and we've been watching humans for a long time. It took us generations to get here. I know human sci-fi has all these like ships that can go really fast, but our people didn't have that. We had really large ships that moved relatively slowly, and there were generations of us that grew, lived, and died on those ships. And we had to cross over several light years. It took hundreds and hundreds of years to happen. And when we got here, we realized that going back wasn't really an option. And we have kind of lost communication with our people. So we decided the best thing to do was to become part of human society. Right now, we do have a facility on the moon that is keeping track of what's going on down here. And we know we don't have a lot of time before humans get to the technology level to be able to find that base. Luckily, they've stopped going to the moon. That was a big concern for a while. Now, you're part of that solution. You were supposed to get information and assimilate, and you did assimilate. You did really well, but we did too good of a job. You should have known who you were going in. Instead of being an unknown agent, you should have known who you were. And that was our mistake.
Are you saying I'm an alien?
Partially, yes.
What's the partially?
Part of integration was seeing whether or not we could take human stem cells or biomatter and grow hybrids in order to see if we could slowly become part of the human race, disappear into the human race as they developed their technology, even release some of our technology to give them a leg up so that they could reach the same heights we did. But so far, our experiments have not been the greatest.
And what do you want from me? Am I just another failed experiment?
Actually, no. You're probably our most successful experiment. You've done really well. And I know I'm trying to be very honest with you. I'm not trying to sugarcoat anything because I know you won't trust it if I do. But we do care about you. It's not like we don't care about you. It's that we made a lot of mistakes in trying to integrate ourselves. You come from a lab experiment, yes, but you're still our kid in our minds. You're still a part, a citizen with us. You're important to us. And I know that's hard to believe or understand, but we're just trying to find a way, because I honestly don't think the humans are going to be able to handle alien species so far. I don't think they're going to react well. They don't react well to each other, let alone somebody from another planet. And knowing that we don't want to condemn a bunch of people to hundreds and hundreds of years on a generational ship, we're just trying to find the right answer, but we don't have them.
Look, I don't know what to tell you. I really don't. Do you know what it feels like to be fucked with on this level?
No.
So my purpose was to see if you could integrate, and what else do you want from me? We're not going to play happy family.
Here's the reality. You've integrated. You have friends. You went to college. Everything went as planned, except for the fact that you didn't know who you really were. In my mind, that's a success, and it means that our program can move forward, and we can slowly integrate in to the society.
So you're going to do this to more people?
Not this, no. We've learned from this. Basically, what we're going to do is find ways to disguise ourselves. And if we can find a way to disguise ourselves, then there won't be a need for us to become part of the human race, which is difficult. The biotech behind it is very, very advanced. And not easy to do. I can't go out and marry a human and have kids with them. It's just not possible. You have to start with just DNA from both parties, and you have to grow someone, and a lot of times it doesn't work. And I know this is all a lot, but we're trying to figure out a way to survive.
Well, that sounds like a you problem.
Well, now you know.
Yeah, I don't know that I'm better for knowing for once in my life.
Well, look, like I said, we're backing off. You do what you want to do. You're not going to see us coming after you anymore. You're not going to see Bacon. You're not going to see the Men in Black as much. They're controlled by the government, so they might pop up if you keep pulling strings, but
obviously.
Anyway, but if you ever want to know more, or if you ever want to come to where you actually grew up, you know? And she hands you the little 1980s business card, and she says, just let us know. We're around.
Well, don't call me, I'll call you.
Exactly. And she walks out.
Cecil gets up, packs up her things from the place, and walks to her car, gets behind the wheel, and just screams.
Okay. Let's jump over to the others, why that is happening. So, you've got this 4x4-inch puck of metal. It looks like maybe 10 to 20 pieces of paper stacked on each other, thickness about that. So not a lot, just like maybe a centimeter or two thick. Just looks like a blank piece of slag. It is a perfect circle, though. The edging doesn't look like it's weird. It looks like a perfect circle, which in itself is maybe a little disconcerting.
Oh, definitely.
You think?
Yeah, that's it's not at all what I expected to happen to burning paper. So, I kind of cautiously approach it. Can I do a spot hidden before I touch it? I'm just going to look real good.
Sure. Go for it.
And also listen real good.
You know what? If you're taking time to do a thing, you're under no stress right now. So I'm not going to make you roll.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You walk up and you take a really, I'm going to say all three of you are probably looking at it real good. And so the outer parts of it look like it's got burn marks on it. But then the edges of it, you can see this strange blue, almost fluorescent tint to it, blue purple. And it's the same color as the flames were when it hit the sigil. It's not giving off any vibe. It's not like evil or anything like that, but it does look strange and different from any metal you've seen before.
Okay, I can admit burning may have been not the best idea, but oops.
We were kind of heightened. It's okay.
I'm going to look in the kitchen drawers and see if there are tongs in there.
Sure. Yeah, there's tongs.
Okay. I hand them to Bailey.
I've already been touched by darkness multiple times, so yeah, I'm going to try to, you know, see if I can even lift it. Is it stuck on the sink, maybe, or the weight of 1,000 elephants?
It's very heavy, but you can pick it up. It seems like it's cooled down completely, like whatever reaction it had was kind of an instantaneous thing. So yeah, you pick it up, and it seems just like a big hunk of metal.
Like just inert for now?
For now, yeah.
For now. Well, holding it, I guess, do you know if maybe they have it like a Pyrex or something in here? Just something with good temperature control in case this...
You can put it in like a pot or something.
Yeah. I'll enlist the help of both Mira and Maribel, and let's seal that up. And then, well, I guess we need to find that expert immediately.
Yeah. Also, I'm a little bit afraid I'm just putting this out there, not to manifest anything, but just so, but like, I'm terrified that we just melted all those sigils that weren't supposed to be together.
Oh yeah, no, definitely, I'm on the same page. Yeah, I mean, I only have a 40 in chemistry, but some massive entropy happened here.
Hey, you know what? A 40 is not bad. Why don't you make a chemistry roll?
Okay. It's like, judging by the flame color, yeah.
I know, right? Why do we both have chemistry?
Well, mine was for the dark room, so I could actually use the dark room originally.
Right.
Mine was the whole mortuary business. But
all right, let's see if I can identify what demon gases were emitted. Oh, I got a 28 under my 40. Okay.
Cool. Awesome. You start looking at this metal and you start thinking about the instant reaction of it. You wonder if it's possible somehow that the 3D image that you saw, could it be possible that they were in some sort of almost gas-like state and then the fire reacted with it and turned it solid and pushed it together? It took away whatever was keeping them apart and then pushed them together. Because you know, a lot of times with portals and things like that, they're rips in reality. So each sigil might have been a rip on its own and had some sort of gas matter inside of it that helps the rip. And then the fire kind of instantly reacted with that and pulled it all together into a piece of metal. That's the best you can come up with.
Is this a good thing or a bad thing?
I'm going to guess bad, because these things, they were in their natural state. They don't even want to touch. And now, and Bailey gets a little trembly trying to, when she even remembers some of the other shapes, if we've brought all these realities together in almost a singular point, did we just make like a train station for demons?
So from what I could tell when I was looking at the original sigil, it could actually lock beings into a location. So if we made a box and put that sigil on the outside, we could at least contain this.
The God's Eye, right?
Yeah.
The Elder Thing sign. But I like the God's Eye sigil. That's kind of cool, too. That's my new Swedish death metal album that's coming out soon.
But yes, that sigil, I mean, there's got to be some kind of box in here somewhere, but something.
We'll put the Tupperware in a Pyrex in a cooking pot, and we'll just put all those lids on for now. Tape it. I got some duct tape. We should probably bring this to an expert.
Yeah. But in the meantime, I mean, if we put the sigil on the outside in Sharpie.
Right. We'll keep the duct tape on that, too.
Okay, so you put the sigil on, you draw it the best, you know, because you have the papers there, and so you draw the sigil on top of the turducken of plastic containers that you've made to contain this metal puck.
I was imagining just melting through all of them as we're, like, walking through. Like, oh, okay, yeah.
You get there, and it's just through the bottom of your car. You're like, son of a... But no, it did seem to, like, you picked it up with the tongs. No heat was coming off of it. You put it in there. It doesn't seem to go down. So it doesn't seem like it's radiating heat at all. So that's good. So you pile all this stuff together. You put the sigil on and you head over to Madame Peach's, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Just so I know, Mac, what is Cecil going to be doing after she lets loose of all this emotion?
It's a good question. Right? I was actually thinking she might go back to the apartment and try and relax or something.
So we leave a note telling Cecil where we've gone.
Okay, great.
So we have the books that we took and the pages, and the book has the spell, and I want to take all of that with us to see if it can help Madame Peaches figure out what the hell's going on with us.
All right. So you all leave. You've left a message. As the door shuts, the camera pans over to the computer just sitting there on the table. And a few moments later, Cecil, you open the door, probably 10 or 20 minutes after they left. There's a note stuck on the refrigerator that says, hey, we're going to Madame Peach's to find out more about all of this stuff. Meet up with us. Yada, yada. I don't know if it would say anything else from anybody, but that's the general gist.
I think I'm just going to add, like, at the bottom, it's like, you said our friendship didn't mean anything, but it does.
All right. So what do you want to do, Mac? What does Cecil do after reading the note?
I'm going to eventually meet them at Madame Peach's, but I think first I'm going to call the contact about Arkham.
Okay, so we'll jump back to you. I just need to know, are you planning to print out another version of this page that they burnt?
I'm not going to print it out immediately because I don't want it, like, recorded off of this system. I'm going to email the file to myself.
Okay.
So it exists in a format where I can get to it from anywhere.
Okay, that makes sense. All right, so the three of you show up at Madame Peach's. She has opened up a palm reading and fortune-telling place at her residence. So there's a sign in the window with a big, like, neon palm, and it says fortune-telling in the front. And you walk up, and she opens the door. She says, oh, it's... great to see you. Well, okay, it's good to see you all, but I'm worried that it means something horrible is happening. Am I right?
Well, we are hoping something horrible won't happen with your help.
Okay. Well, come on in. I've got about an hour before my next meeting, so lay it on me. What's going on? So info dump on everything, basically?
Yeah. Yes, as much as possible, including Cecil's weird thing that happened right before the symbol.
Right.
That, too.
She goes, a little occult roll for her. She says, I mean, I've brushed up against spells before. A lot of them are folk spells that are used in rituals for healing and things like that. If I'm being honest, a lot of them are placebos. You have somebody, you sit down with them, you repeat a spell over them, they feel more at peace, and it helps them out. Real magic is out there. There's a lot of folk magic out there as well that actually works, but that we've lost a lot of the translations on, especially the stuff from the druids, who we don't have anything from them, unfortunately. But the older the magic, the more potent the magic is what I'm saying. The magic you're talking about is very dangerous, as you already know. It usually takes a group. You can cast the spells on your own, but they take mental toll, as you've already figured out. The more that you interact with this type of magic and occult that is outside the human realm, the more your brain has trouble processing it, and it can lead to basically your ability to process that sort of horror. Like, you might get to a point where you have a breakdown and you just cannot deal with the things that you are learning, and you have to step away from it. So it's very dangerous to trifle with. But it sounds like we're in a situation where we don't have much of a choice.
And the trifling has happened a little bit already.
All right. Well, can I see this piece of metal that you created?
Hef the cookware on the counter here.
She goes, well, this definitely looks interesting. Now, again, I'm from the folk side of magic, so in my mind, we should get like a lead-lined vessel or silver-lined vessel of some sort and put whatever this symbol is that you're talking about, and you probably pointed it out in the papers.
We put it on top of the cookware.
He goes, yeah, we can do like an imprint in there of some sort, maybe etch it into the top so it's a little harder to get rid of than marker.
Well, yes, this was obviously just a temporary solution.
Yeah, absolutely. I know. Okay. She looks at it for a second. She goes, has anyone touched it?
Which part?
The metal.
No, we use tongs.
This is difficult. I don't know if this is just an inert piece of metal that was formed out of these sigils, or you've ripped a hole in space and time. Not sure about that. It's not hot or anything. I do wonder if it can be molded into anything. Can it be melted down? Can we separate it? This is going to take a lot to figure out. I don't think this has never happened before. And so anything we do, it could have good or bad consequences. So I guess you're right to put it in a container and we just try to, I guess, hide it away. And hopefully people will forget about it. It's only the five of us that know it exists right now.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, like, as much as I hate to kick it down the road, if we can seal it while we try to figure out, you said we're probably the first ones to ever do this, but honestly, that sounds like unlikely.
Well, I mean, maybe people stacked the sigils before.
And then fire is supposed to be purifying. That's why our first thought was to burn it. And so it's possible that other people have done this before. And like, maybe if we just keep this contained while we try to figure that out, if there's any record of that or anything.
Well, you hit upon a good point, though. Fire is purifying. My wonder is, did you purify it? Is it something we can use? I don't know.
Like, to turn into protection charms or something?
It's a chunk of metal. It might be able to be formed into something else that can be used. I don't have the answers. But the thing is to fuck with it means that we might stumble into worse things, I guess, which is always the concern with these type of things.
I mean, should we just turn this over to Gabriel? Let him deal with it?
It's not a bad idea, except for the fact that is, if it is something that can be used, what would God and Gabriel do with it?
Yeah.
They haven't proven to be the best, you know, people.
They may not even want to touch it because they don't want to deal with those gods.
Yeah, this is from the outer gods. I don't know how he would react to this.
Well, maybe Gabriel wouldn't want anything with it, which is fine, I suppose. But if we're talking about now, maybe if it's just an otherworldly metal. Okay, side note. Hephaestus?
Yeah, Hephaestus. That was my thought, too. Is he around?
What side did he take in the war? Yeah.
That's a great question. I wouldn't know. Honestly, I don't have them on speed dial, but I do think that that might be a good place to start and find out whether or not he has any input. I definitely think that somebody with more supernatural knowledge than humans is going to have better answers. I can make a box for it now, though, and we can keep it safe until we find out more.
Yes, let's definitely do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Lead, silver, blend, whatever.
Nice.
My question is, somebody had to have written these books, right? So maybe there's some organization that exists that are the people who wrote these books that would know a lot about it?
From what I know, a lot of the people who end up writing such tomes are usually, when they get to the point where they're starting to write stuff down, they've already checked out a lot and are usually like solitary wizards or sorcerers, people who are traveling realities and going into the dream worlds. There are a few organizations out there that are secret societies that deal with this type of things. I think that there was one in Massachusetts for a long time, the Secret Order of Dagon or something. I don't remember the exact name. The Esoteric Order of Dagon. They're rumor now, but I'm pretty sure they existed at one point. The problem is information like this corrupts people's brains, and it causes them to not be able to deal with human reality because they've now tuned into alien reality, and that just messes our brains up bad. So we need to be really careful, but we also need to take action because Bailey and the rest of the city and the world are in trouble. And multiple dimensions of you guys are in trouble if this messenger god gets its way.
And hearing that has made Bailey, me, extremely nervous, thinking about how much reality I could have been losing these last couple times. I'm starting to kind of like make sure I'm not seeing like shadows out of the corner of my eye or anything. Just kind of shake my head a little bit. Yeah. Let's do something quickly.
Yeah. So let's, Madam Peaches, if you wouldn't mind making the box, we'll put it in the box and let's figure out a way to contact Hephaestus.
Okay. That sounds like a good idea. So while all of that is happening, we're going to jump back over to Cecil. So you take out this phone number and you give Jeremy Hill a call, and this old voice comes over the line.
What can I do for you? Hello?
Hi, I'm an investigative journalist, and I'm trying to find some more information about a area on the East Coast you might be familiar with, Arkham.
No one wants to hear me talk about Arkham. I tried to tell everybody about Arkham, and I was called a crackpot for even bringing it up. So what do you want to know?
Well, I'm not everyone, first of all. Second of all, we have the crackpot feeling in common. I want to know everything.
There was a cult there. A bunch of people who believed in some sort of, like, fish god. My grandfather was one of them. My father was not. And there was a dispute in the family, and my father took me, my sister, and we left. Not long before, government came in and raided a little town called Innsmouth, not far away from Arkham. And as soon as that happened, the feds started investigating Arkham and all the little villages around it. So there's another place called Kingsport, another Ipswich, and they also looked into Dunwich. Ipswich was the only one that didn't mysteriously slowly lose all of its population.
So there's still population left there?
In Ipswich, yes, but nowhere else.
Interesting.
My opinion is that the government didn't want to do another raid because it was too big and people wrote about it in newspapers, so they were more clandestine about it and went in and started slowly depopulating the region, getting rid of anybody that was there that was part of this cult that my grandfather was a part of.
Fascinating. And do you know anything about their practices at all?
For years, Arkham and that whole area was a whaling community. They were fishermen. After the Civil War, things were booming. And then it slowly started to go downhill. And they were given, according to my grandfather, a representative from their god came out of the ocean and offered great riches in return for worship. But unfortunately, a corruption came from it too. People started turning into these hybrid fish people and going back into the ocean, and slowly the corruption caused Innsmouth in particular to draw the attention of the government, and that's why they went in and destroyed everything, was because of whatever mutations were going on from worshiping this god. But the god gave them great amounts of fish and great amounts of gold. But all of that disappeared too. I'm willing to bet it's all been melted down and put in Fort Knox. Nobody wants to hear any of it.
Fascinating. And you say that the government's been trying to slander you about this whole thing as well.
Try. They haven't tried. They have succeeded. No one listens to me. Why do you think they started tabloid newspapers? Put people's faces on there, and people in the general population say, well, they were in the Inquirer. Obviously, they're insane, or the Sun Post, or whatever. Any of those tabloids, they were made up by the government to keep us from talking. They just slap our face on the front cover, and then suddenly we're crackpots.
Well, I happen to believe a lot of the information coming out of, let's call them alternate channels, and there's always more to the story than meets the eye, so no fear for me of thinking you are insane or misinformed.
Well, I appreciate that, but I don't know what my information is going to do at this point. This country is so asleep at the wheel that I just don't think anybody wants to know the truth.
Well, if anybody wants to know the truth, it's me.
Unfortunately, those places are gone, though, now. And so are all the people. There's not many of us left who even remember Arkham or were living there. I was maybe 10 when that raid hit and when we moved out. And Miskatonic shut down. It was the college that was in the city. It shut down not long after, probably in the early 40s. Some scandal. They kept sending archaeologists and students out for digs, and they would go out, and then half of them would come back because God knows where they were going to dig stuff up. All that stuff has been wiped out.
Interesting. Do you know any other stories about Arkham besides the cult? You know, interesting tales of alternate realities, past lives, anything interesting like that?
There were always, like, rumors of cannibals in the woods and witches that would call down. There was this witch cult that was in Arkham in particular that had a god. They call him the messenger god or something. But they would, every year, they would call him down and do a ritual and sacrifice. There were all sorts of things. They were sacrificing babies or something.
And you can't remember the name of this particular witch cult?
No, I don't think they really had a moniker. The religion that was in Arkham was called the Esoteric Society of Dagon. That's what they went by. But the cults, the witch cults, that was something different. I don't think my grandfather was really connected with that, and it all became part of the rumor mill of, you know, how much is true, how much is not. If you throw a billion different stories at somebody and only one of them is true, it's going to take a long time to figure out which one is true.
Absolutely. Did you hear any tell of... So the witches were working, obviously, with this messenger god. Was there any thoughts to banishment that you ever heard of? Or ways... Was he in control of them, or were they in control of him?
I don't think they controlled him, but I'm willing to bet that if you can call something, you can push it away somehow. That would be my guess.
Interesting. Well, I appreciate all of this information. And, you know what I'd like to do for you, if you're interested? Like I said, I'm a journalist. I could write a piece about this information, get it out there, bring it up again. Would that be interesting to you?
Well, I wouldn't mind that. If I can get more than just myself and to believe in the reality of reality, I'd be all for that.
I understand. Well, I may reach out to you again if that's okay.
It is.
Well, thank you for your time. I really appreciate it.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Lots of info.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's like, it's always that, like, what questions do you ask thing?
Yeah, it can be difficult.
Yeah.
So what do you want to do now?
I'd probably go to Madame Peach's.
All right. Just as Madame Peach's is finishing up getting together this square 5-inch by 5-inch box, she's able to put the same symbol that you gave her. She put the symbol on the inside as well as on the outside because she can't put lead in there or anything else right at this moment. So she wants to protect it as much as possible. And she's finishing that up right when Cecil shows up.
Well, Cecil walks in and has kind of a sour look and gives a look over towards Mira that's sort of a still looks a little perturbed.
Oh, glad you're okay. We've been figuring out a lot of stuff, I guess. I kind of look around helplessly at everybody else in the room. We made a thing that could help us or hurt us. It's metal and it's in there.
As best as we can figure out, each of the symbols was a tear in reality. And when I burned the paper, it either purified them and the symbols became something that could help us, or it forced them all together and could be an even bigger portal.
I'm glad it went into capable hands.
Yes. You know, fooling around with stuff that we don't know anything about without talking to anybody who knows anything more is definitely always the way to go.
Yeah, clearly.
All right. Yeah.
Peaches suddenly says, obviously everybody's tense. I understand that. But I think we all need to work together as a unit to be able to figure out what to do because we're all friends, right?
Yeah. I mean, I don't even know why there was a pause there, everyone.
I mean, well, as far as I'm concerned, yeah. Mira, Cecil, are we all friends?
Sure. Of course.
We all want the same thing, which is the safety of everyone that we love. I think that we can all agree to that, at least, for right now.
Yeah. And also maybe saving everybody else, too. Even the ones we don't love.
Very true. Very true.
So, shall we call a smithing god?
Yeah, I think we need to call the smithing god that we probably have the most chance of getting in touch with.
Okay.
Yeah, we can hit up Themis and see if she's got a card or something to pass along.
Well, Themis is no longer in this realm.
Right, she's in hell. Right, I forgot.
How about Herodotus?
You want to talk to Herodotus, you can.
Want is an interesting word there, but have to. Yeah, because I don't know who else we would talk to.
We did meet Hermes that one time.
Yeah, you did, actually.
True.
You want to try to call Hermes instead?
Yes.
Yeah, let's call Hermes, because Herodotus is a little much.
All right. So you call up, and because Hermes works with Themis, Hermes answers the phone.
Hello. Who's talking?
Hi. Is this Hermes?
Yep.
This is Maribel. We met a while back.
I remember you. You were friends with Themis and Themis's new girlfriend, correct? How you doing?
I'm doing all right. We had a question.
Okay, wait. No, you're going way too slow. You need to speed up.
Okay. We need to get in touch with Hephaestus.
Okay, cool. Where are you at?
And I tell him where we are.
All right, great. I'll bring him over to you.
Thank you.
All right, bye.
Hangs up. When you start stretching out words, he's like, no.
I forget. He's speedy.
Yeah, he's way speedy. Literally 5 minutes later, there's the ring on the doorbell.
I think that might be a couple of gods looking at Madam Peaches.
I'll get the door. And she walks over, and Hermes walks in. Hermes is shorter. He's probably 5'2 or something. Very skinny, wiry, and he just looks fast. He's got curly black hair and brown eyes and the whole thing, and he just looks like he's ready to go. Hephaestus comes in, and he is a taller man. He's actually got more of a modern look to him, but he still looks like a blacksmith. And if you take a real close look at his hands, they're covered in like calluses and things. So he's definitely a working god. And he comes in and he says,
I've been told there's something I might be able to help you with.
Yeah. And I just kind of explained to him everything.
Okay. That is very dangerous. I need to take a look at the metal. He picks it up and he goes, it's strange. There's no jagged edges on it anywhere. It's definitely magical, but it's inert.
I feel like it's possible there's just a huge sigh of relief in the room when he says it's inert.
Yes.
I'm like, oh, thank gods.
He takes the edge of the disc and runs it along his forearm.
And the skin parts as if it's being cut, and a little blood starts coming down. And he goes, that is incredibly sharp. And that's where we're going to end this particular episode. Thank you all so much. I'm very excited to see where all this is going to go. We have some wonderful players, obviously. Let's find out where they all are hanging out and what they're doing. Let's start with Saint.
Hello, I'm Saint Spider, been playing Bailey, and, you know, you can find me on the internet, on Twitter, if it still exists at this point, at Saint Spider TV. Sorry, I just got, just remembered Elon. That's SaintSpiderTV. Thank you very much.
Hey, you can find me on the socials at Michulhu. That's M-I-C-H-U-L-H-U. You can also find my music and Wes's sound effects if you subscribe to the Plate Mail Games catalog through BattleBards.
Hey, y'all. I have been and will continue to be Mac Beauvais. You can find me online as @strangelikethat.
Hi, I'm Pooja. You can find me on the socials as Forgotten Saves or hear me play other TTRPGs on the Happy Jacks RPG Network.
And I am Wes Otis. You can find me on Plate Mail Games on Twitter. You can also find all of our links to all of our different social media stuff on our website at 12sidestoriesallspelledout.com. So that's a great place to go. You can find us on Discord, which if you want to talk to us about stuff, is the best place to go. Join us on Discord. If you want to help out the show, join Patreon or Ko-fi as a monthly subscriber, or you can give us a shout out on your favorite social media platform or give us a review. Those three things help a great deal. Thank you so much for listening, and we will talk to you next time. Bye.
Bye.